Quickly, well, before they get away, I mean, this is a pretty amazing facilitating team. They have been here for 3 years. And I mean, they haven't stopped. We get the emails, we know of activities. Can you, oh, thank you, Susan. Hi, there I am. But no, these ladies have been so gracious to just stay on, like it was their term. I mean, we could have just fizzled for a while and we didn't. So I'm so appreciative of that. And that's why I was telling you not to go sit down, because I have a little something for each of you from Hawaii. Very little, but it's just a little form of appreciation. I don't know if many of you knew that my mom-in-law has been sick. And so I was back and forth to Hawaii a couple times, but she's much better now. I have prayers of Thanksgiving. And she was in the hospital, but she's home and she's doing well. And we went to see her for Mother's Day and she's doing great. But I just want to thank you, ladies. Yeah, it's a little treat. You're welcome. I'll give Gabby. Yeah, you give Gabby. Okay. Thank you, sweetheart. Thanks. And then there's one other person that I have to always thank. I don't know why, because she gets on my nerves. But anyway, she knows it. She knows it's her. No, I'm just joking. But Jerry Stacy is the woman who brought me to Wings 25 years ago. And I've got to tell you, she came to me at a time when my dad had just passed away. And it chokes me up every time, because Jerry just came to me and said, I have a place for you. And she gave me all the information about Wings. And I came and I never left. So I just really love you, Jerry, and I appreciate you. And I have a very little small thing for you too. Come on. See what I mean? She gets on my nerves. I hit you over the head with it.
I love you.
Here, it's very small, but it's okay. Well, I was going to open with the prayer that Carmela opened with, but she beat me to the punch, which is fine. I'm glad that everyone was able to join in with that. And I also had the best laid plans, I tell you. I also had some pastries for us this morning, because I know Wings, we love our pastries. So I did have some slides of some beautiful pastries. But we couldn't pull them up for some reason. I don't know. It was probably a copyright thing that I wasn't supposed to be redoing them. But anyway, there were some, what do you call those little, there were croissants, and there was some French bread. And what are they're all different colors. And they're the little French things. Huh? Yeah, the macarons. They were so pretty. So just think about that as you're sitting here. Also, I woke up with a kind of a scratchy throat, but I'm going to try this anyway. Just a little antiphon for us to start with. Glory to God, glory. Oh, praise him, alleluia. Glory to God, glory. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God, glory. Oh, praise him, alleluia. Glory to God, glory. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So, ladies, the pandemic, I mean, what was that all about? I mean, it has been very challenging, but I tried to use it for the good and tried to have positive as much as possible from it. So I used a lot of the days were used for time of reflection, self-evaluation. I have a friend that I walk with, but some days I would tell her, I'm just going to walk by myself. And like as Irene shared last week, I would say the rosary. I have one of those ring rosary things. And I would say the rosary and just kind of think about my life, reflect, and pray. And so I am thankful for that. When this all started, I was just really pretty naive about it. I think all of us were, but you know, that first couple weeks, and you know, I was saying with my kids, well, we can do this for a month or so, and it's fine. And, you know, my kids were in our bubble. We were in the backyard. One was here barbecuing, and, you know. And we said, yeah, we can do this. And it's a little bit of family time. And then several months into it, that's when it started getting a little bit scary. So we had suspended our small Christian community meetings. So we decided to go on Zoom with that and run through the summer, which we usually don't do the summer, but we appreciated doing that. It was a way for us to not only have our meetings, but also do a mental check-in with each other and just see how we were doing in isolation. Because some of the ladies in my group are widowed, and, you know, they're alone, their kids couldn't come, their grandkids were out of town or whatever. So it was a good way to check in. I also started with some good friends of mine that I usually see once a year, some high school friends. There are 8 of us. We started a Zoom and meeting once a month on Zoom. We were meeting once a week on Zoom. And that got kind of crazy because, as you know, when you're on Zoom, if more than one person is talking, you're getting this feedback and you're going, but we're all just talking at once. But we've worked out a system that we would have to take turns or, you know, hold this stake up until it was your turn. Also, as you know, I think as you were also reminded of just how important family time is and just the importance of being able to reach out to your family, your friends, your loved ones, and just connect with them and to not be able to touch people. That was the hardest for me because, you know, I'm a hugger. And wow, that's when I would start to get a little bit of the COVID fatigue and the little bit of the depression because I need touch. I really need touch. So I just appreciated this precious time that I was able to spend with my daughters. By the way, Stephanie was living in LA and she moved back home. She said, well, if I'm gonna be working from home, I might as well be home. And that was a blessing. Kinda. it was good. But there was time, you know, let's face it, whenever you move another grown woman into your home, it's just a challenge. And also, you know, she would get frustrated with us and she would get irritated. And we're like, well, it's our house. So, but, you know, it got to the point even like, well, you know, Howard and I would watch Family Feud and get our laugh on. And then we'd watch Jeopardy and we challenge each other. And she'd come in, why do you even watch these programs? We're like, oh, well, I guess because we like it and it's our house. So then she'd get irritated and say, well, I'm upstairs. Okay, well, see you later. But no, she really was a lot of help and a blessing to have around. I did some more gardening. Is Loretta here today? Oh, I was going to say I did a little bit of gardening, but I'm definitely no Loretta Krogan, and I don't have a green thumb, but I tried my best. And I tried learning a little bit of American Sign Language and, you know, still learning, but you can teach an old dog new tricks, and I was doing okay. I also tried a lot of new recipes, all the recipes that come up on, you know, online. Oh, that could probably be good. Sometimes good and sometimes not so great. So, but it was fun trying. So I would like to ask you to just take a few minutes to talk to someone near you, 2 or 3 of you in a group or, you know, whoever you're sitting next to, and just share some of the things that got you through this past year or some of the things that were hard to deal with or, you know, things that got you through. Talk amongst yourselves. Find someone to... Oh, I know your distance, but...
going to try to send you one more thing.
Did you?
Huh?
You didn't have to make a PowerPoint. It's just...
No, I didn't. Yeah, yeah. Why?
It's switching in between. She has to go in between each picture and put them up.
Oh, it's okay. Just it can go slow. It doesn't. Yeah, it's just thrown up. Yeah, it's okay if it just. No, I'm sorry. I didn't have time to do any kind of organization of it. Let me see if I can send you this. I forgot I had a song too for the end. Let me see if this will go through. Pardon me. It's off of YouTube. Yeah, you want to find it on. But I don't know. Let me see if I can find the exact what it's called.
You look so adorable.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're so cute.
Let's see. I can give you this if you need to look at it and figure out which one it is. I mean, if it doesn't come through. All right, ladies. Would anyone, if you can hear my voice, clap one time. Hear my voice, clap two times. And clap three times. Thank you. Would anyone like to share something that they did this past year or something that they learned from someone else doing? You know, just
a bit of more.
Oh, you learned Zoom. Yeah. Then we are Maureen. Oh, yeah, we're going to have that next. I'm sorry. Wait.
My brother from Salt Lake City, I taught him more in the last year than I have in at least 40 years.
Wow. Wow.
We were meeting weekly, and now we're making it monthly, but I've really got to know people on a day-to-day basis.
That's really cool.
That I haven't seen.
Yeah, that's very cool. Anyone else? Jerry? Oh, talk loud. She's never had that problem. Should I? Well, I don't want to pass the mic. Thanks, Jer. Anyone else on this side? Or oh, yeah, Suzanne.
Those of you that know me know that I get tremendous punishment. And that's not my fault. What I wanted to tell you is the most unexpected people from this room that would feel kindness to me and would call and listen to me. And for all of you, for the people that you know,
anyone? Yeah. Chris. Oh, where? Oh, Kim.
I learned that I had to learn how to enjoy my own company. All of my kids recently, you know, have closed the nest. And I had all these two volunteer trainings lined up for March of 2020. So I couldn't even train for the things that I spent a year discerning to do. And you all, many of you have been in a group with me, you know, kind of analytical.
Wow. Cool, Kim. That's impressive. Okay, Christy.
Well, I just wanted to say that I think
Yeah, sadly, the negative stuff always sells best, so that's what they push. Jean. Not Zumba. Sure.
Sorry, I get really emotional.
No problem. Yeah, good. Okay, anyone else? I don't want to cut it. Irene, did you have anything? All right, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit just a little bit today. The prophets of the Old Testament foretold that God's Spirit would rest upon the Messiah to sustain his mission. Their prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus, the Messiah, was conceived by the Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus on his occasion of his baptism, and Jesus' entire mission occurred in communion with the Spirit. Before he died, Jesus promised that the Spirit would be given to the apostles and to the entire church. After his death, he was raised by the Father in the power of the Spirit. We have the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the biblical origin of these seven gifts is found in Isaiah, where he is foretelling the qualities of the Messiah. And I quote, "But a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be fear of the Lord." The New Testament reports many manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about two here shortly, briefly. St. John's Gospel describes an outpouring of the Spirit on Easter night when Jesus breathed on the apostles and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." St. Luke's Acts of the Apostles gives another account of the sending of the Holy Spirit. The apostles proclaim God's mighty deeds. Peter preached that his coming of the Spirit fulfilled the prophecy of Joel in his last days. "I will pour out a portion of my Spirit upon all flesh." Those who believed in the apostles' preaching were baptized and received the Holy Spirit through the laying of hands. I just want to segue here a little bit, and Gabby, if you want to put up one of the pictures. My mom and dad had a very dear friend, and okay, that's a picture of my mom and dad back in the day. They had a very dear friend when we were living in St. Louis who came. My parents, you know, my dad was Haitian, so he was working at one of the hospitals, and there was a nurse who came from Haiti, and he was told, and she was told, there's a Haitian community here. So she caught up with my dad, and he said, "Oh, absolutely, you have to come to our house for dinner." He called my mom and said, "I've met Primrose. She's a beautiful woman." So she came to our house, and from then on, she was part of our family. My parents took her in. She stayed at the nursing school, so she had a place to live, but she was at our house very often. I was about two or three at this time. But she remained a part of our family. She was godmother to my younger sister, and just a very spirit-filled woman. As my mom was nearing her transition into her eternal life, her friend Primrose, who had lived kind of all over the world, but most recently was living in Portugal, was calling and checking on my mom, and was able to talk with my mom, and my mom was still able to talk. And next thing we knew, Primrose was coming, and she came from Portugal to be at my mom's bedside. She never left my mom's bedside, only to go to the bathroom, I think. She was there for 3 days, and she just prayed and prayed. She prayed the rosary. She has a very deep devotion to Padre Pio. She prayed to Padre Pio. One of the days, one of my sisters said, "I'm going to have lunch for everybody. You know, let's go, Prim." She said, "Why would I leave? I'm not leaving her side." And I mean, you can go to another picture. To have a friend like that in your life is just amazing. Let me tell you, you can do that one, but me with my mom. You can go to another. I'll just tell you which one. I didn't know it was up like that. Yeah, that one's next to the right. Yeah, that one. Yeah, so that's Primo's. That was at her surprise 80th birthday party just a few years ago, and that was in New York. And anyway, when she came, in between the prayer, she gathered me with my siblings and shared that, you know, that this is it. Your mom is going now. And we said, "No, she isn't. She's not," you know. And then we would hear her at my mom's bedside, "Yut, it's okay." Well, she called her Riri. My mom's name was Anne Marie. She used to call her Riri. "It's okay for you to go." And we were upset. We were insulted. We were upset. How dare she? And she's coming in telling our mom to go. We don't want her to go. She's not going. There's medicine. She's going to be fine. And she said, "You know what? I want you to know.
I need to share this with you. Your mom spoke to me and said she wasn't able to say it to her children, but she knew that she was going. She wanted Primrose there to be able to look out for us, to make sure that each one of us was okay, especially my youngest brother who had recently divorced. And she said, please check on them and be there for them. And she has been there for us the entire time. My mom's been gone 12 years, and she's really been there for us. She, as I mentioned, she was my younger sister's godmother. And when my sister died 6 years ago, she, of course, came to the service. And my sister Mieto was Stephanie, my daughter Stephanie's godmother. And she took Stephanie aside and said, now I'm your godmother. And she's just a very special person. And I'm sorry to say that Monday we got the call that she passed away. So I'm just so glad we had her in our lives. Anything that was going on in her family, my mom would go. Anything in our family, she would come. And she was a very, very blessed person. Actually, she thought she was on the path to become a nun, and then she prayed and she realized, no, that was not her vocation. And she has four children and, you know, several grandchildren, and she's just was a very, very lovely person. Anyway, so I'm glad to have had her in my life. And any other picture, it doesn't matter, no, no. Of the ones on the top, like that one, yeah, that one, if you can. Sorry, I'm giving Gabby some hard work here today, but, and this is just us with, we can look that way, that's all right. This is my siblings and I with my mom, and that was on the occasion of her retirement. So, and this in the purple here is my younger sister who passed away. Yeah. And my older brother, and younger brother, and my older sister. The apostles baptized believers in water and the Spirit, then they imparted the special gifts of the Spirit through the laying of hands. The imposition of hands is rightly recognized by the Catholic tradition as the origin of the sacrament of confirmation, which in a certain way perpetrates the grace of Pentecost in the church. By the second century, confirmation was also conferred by anointing with holy oil, which came to be called the chrism. This anointing highlights the name Christian, which means anointed, and derives from that of Christ himself, whom God anointed with the Holy Spirit. Confirmation deepens our baptismal life that calls us to be missionary witnesses of Jesus Christ in our families, neighborhoods, society, and the world. The Holy Spirit bestows seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, knowledge, fortitude, counsel, piety, and fear of the Lord. The impact of these gifts accompanies us in the various stages of our spiritual development. As the confirmed, we walk in the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. St. Thomas Aquinas made the following correspondence between the seven capital virtues and the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gift of wisdom corresponds to the virtue of charity. The gift of understanding corresponds to the virtue of faith. The gift of counsel, or also known as right judgment, corresponds to the virtue of prudence. The gift of courage corresponds to the virtue of fortitude. The gift of knowledge corresponds to the virtue of hope. The gift of reverence corresponds to the virtue of justice. And the gift of wonder and awe, which is also known fear of God, corresponds to the virtue of temperance. You can switch up. Thank you. Okay, so the gift of wisdom enables us to see the world from God's viewpoint. I guess you can go back to one. You can just go back to that group shot. Yeah, thank you, sorry.
The gift of wisdom enables us to see the world from God's viewpoint, which can help us come to grasp the purpose and plan of God. Sorry, Pope, one of the Pope. Do you see the Pope? Yeah, that would be good. Our rock star, Pope Francis, says, "Let's ask ourselves, are we open to the Holy Spirit? Do we pray to the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to make us more sensitive to the things of God? This is a prayer we need to pray every day." If you can read it, go ahead and pray it with me. Holy Spirit, may my heart be open to the Word of God. May my heart be open to good. May my heart be open to the beauty of God every day. Back to wisdom. Wisdom grants us the long-range view of history, examining the present in the light of the past and the mystery of the future. It saves us from the illusion that the spirit of the times is our only guide. Through the gift of wisdom, we see God at work in our lives and in the world. For the wise person, the wonders of nature, historical events, the ups and downs of our lives take on deeper meaning. The matters of judgment about the truth and being able to see the whole image of God. We see God as our Father and other people with dignity. Lastly, being able to see God in everyone, in everything, and everywhere. The Spirit's gift of knowledge directs us to contemplation or thoughtful reflection of the mystery of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as well as the mysteries of our Catholic faith. We are drawn to meditative prayers where we allow God to lead us while we rest patiently in his divine presence. With the gift of knowledge, we understand the meaning of God. The gift of knowledge is more than an accumulation of facts. Another Pope. Dove, I guess. Yeah, Dove, or that one. It doesn't. Yeah. Thank you. We can read together. Holy Spirit, make my heart open to the Word of God. Make my heart open to the goodness. Make my heart open to the beauty of God every day. Amen. The gift of understanding stimulates us to work on knowing ourselves as part of our growth in knowing God. As Saint Augustine meant when he prayed, "That I may know you, may I know myself." In understanding, we comprehend how we need to live as a follower of Christ. A person with understanding is not confused by all the conflicting messages in our culture about the right way to live. The gift of understanding perfects a person's speculative reason in the apprehension of truth. It is the gift whereby self-evident principles are known. And that's another teaching of Thomas Aquinas. When the Spirit pours fortitude or courage into our hearts, we can trust that we will be prepared to stand up for Christ and the gospel when challenged. With the gift of fortitude, we overcome our fear and are willing to take risks as a follower of Christ. A person with courage is willing to stand up for what is right in the sight of God, even if it means accepting rejection, verbal abuse, or even physical harm or death. The gift of courage allows people the firmness of mind that is required both in doing good and enduring evil, especially with regard to goods or evils that are difficult. And that makes us think of Joan of Arc. Hope again, or Dove. Yeah, Dove, or whichever one. Oh, that one, yeah, sorry. Thank you, Gabby. Oh my gosh, okay, let's read this together, please. The gift of counsel or right judgment grows in us. We can sense the quiet teaching that the Spirit gives us about our moral lives and the training of our consciences.
with the gift of counsel, right judgment. We know the difference between right and wrong, and we choose to do what is right. A person with right judgment avoids sin and lives out the values taught by Jesus. The sixth gift is the gift of piety or reverence. This gift is an act of respect for the Father who created us, for Jesus who saved us, and for the Spirit who is sanctifying us. We learn reverence for God and people from our parents and others who train us in virtue. The Spirit fills us with this gift at liturgy, which is a masterful school of reverence, as well as through popular devotions and piety. With the gift of reverence, we have a deep sense of respect for God and church. A person with reverence recognizes our total reliance to come before God with humility, trust, and love. Piety is a gift whereby, at the Holy Spirit's instigation, we pay worship and duty to God as our Father. Finally, the gift of fear of the Lord. It's such a severe way of saying that we are in awe of God. In wonder and awe in God's presence can infuse honesty into our relationship with God, a frankness that places us in awe before the majesty of God. Yet the gift also imparts an attitude of grateful wonder that God loves us and that we can share in his life. A person with wonder and awe knows that God is the perfection of all we desire. Perfect knowledge, perfect goodness, perfect power, and perfect love. When our friend Primoz was trying to explain to us that our mom was going and we were resisting, when we finally accepted it is when we got that warmth, when I specifically felt the warmth and the power of the Holy Spirit and the hug from the Holy Spirit letting me know it would be okay and that it was okay for my mom to move on. We also were challenged this year with the pandemic with my daughter's wedding, and I think most of you saw her pictures. I'm going to start with the one with the priest, with the altar. Yeah, thank you. So, what a roller coaster. You know, her wedding was September 12th. We were all watching so intently every bit of the CDC reports, the governor's report, the health department, everything, every day, you know, up and down, as we all know. You're in the church, you're out of the church. You can have 50 in the church, you can't. And so as it grew closer, it was getting better, and then the priest had just done a wedding they got married at St. Monica's that had 50 people. He said, yes, we can do it. You have to wear masks, but we can do it. Great, perfect. Well, 5 days later, shut down the churches. We're like, all righty then. So then they decided, well, we're going to move it to Orange County because Orange County's rules were not as stringent. How about we get married in our backyard? That'll work for me. You know, we can have, and then Michelle and Brian came over and they're making the plans and we can space it out this way and that way and the grandma, what about the grandmas? The grandmas probably shouldn't come. Well, no, we can have the grandmas because all the grandmas are out of town and the grandpas. Well, we can have each one of them by one window, one sliding glass door and have them separated out. So they're brainstorming, I'm brainstorming with them, but I didn't see that as viable, but we got to brainstorm and it's their wedding. I'm going to let them feel it out, try to come up with a solution. They're, you know, millennials, they solve problems we got it, okay, done. And that's kind of how they left. Okay, we've got it worked out. This grandma's going to be here. Grandma Sue's going to be here. Okay. But they were still so intently. We had to keep watching the news and everything. And I remember when the one, I can't remember her name, but one of the doctors that with the kind of grayish hair got on and made statements about, no, we're not, you know, don't even think about anything till, don't even think about schools opening, don't even think about anything. And I mean, Brian just lost it, and he was angry and stomping around, and that woman needs to be fired, and how dare she tell people that, and how dare she say that. They were so frustrated. And then the tears came, you know, from all of us, the up and down of the roller coaster, you know, the bargaining, what can we do to make this happen? It took a, you know, couple weeks. Then Michelle and Brian came to Howard and I and said, we have decided we are getting married September 12th. We're not focusing on having a party. We're not focusing on having reception. We're focusing on the sacrament of marriage. And I'm just like, wow, that, talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I was just so proud of them, because right now they are, as many of our children, they're not ones that go to Mass. You know, they'll go maybe on Mother's Day and Easter or something. But so I was so proud of them to come to that conclusion and for them to accept and realize that all that mattered that was the two of them being there. And once again, being, I just felt the warmth and being washed and hugged by, oh, being, I think this went off. Did this go off? It's off. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the battery? Well, I'll try to talk louder. But being hugged by the Holy Spirit. So this picture, I mean, I'm going to try whatever I wrote, but I can't even remember all that he said because I was just so moved, and he did not do this at the rehearsal, so we weren't expecting it. But we were in like a little corridor. Oh, that, by the way, they thought they were going to be able to have it in the church. Well, nope, we're outside again. So they had a little corridor set up for weddings. And the Monsignor said to them, I know the mic doesn't work, but we're trying to fix that. I'll give it a second. You think it's a battery situation? Kathy, you thought I was just fading out, fading away. Okay, oh yeah, much better. Wow, what a difference. Thanks, Becky. Okay, so anyway, the Monsignor, this is at the start of their wedding, asked them to go and put their hand on the side of the church, on the wall of the church. I know, man. And some of what he said, because I can't remember it all, but said, know that your faith is your foundation. Your marriage will remain strong if you always put God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at the front of all you do. Now, at this point, I'm bawling my eyes out, so I really don't remember all the rest. But it was very, I mean, I really, you just, it's like a being washed by the Holy Spirit. I just felt the warmth. I just, okay, this is what it's all about. And it's just a very, I mean, I just love that picture. Okay, we can have another wedding. That middle, the wedding, yeah, to the right. Yeah, that one. Thank you. So the priest, the Monsignor, kept saying, Michelle, I know this isn't the wedding you planned, but my goodness, you're so darn happy. And this was the two of them the whole time. They didn't know that the rest of us were there. They didn't care that the rest of us were there. It was just their immediate family. His parents, Brian's parents, came in from the Boston area, and his siblings, and then our family, and then their bridal party, which was 12 of their best friends. And so they were, you know, they were happy. But this was pretty much their look the entire day, which I thought was so wonderful. No, one more. Yeah, that one, yeah. Yeah, they were pretty much dancing, but you can see the small space that we're in. There were two chairs on either side, so that was it. Oh, I think one more, I think. Wait. Oh, the one, 16 IMG. Yeah, that one. Yeah, this is when the priest was having them touch the foundation and saying that. And that, I mean, and that's Stephanie, my other daughter, Stephanie. And I pretty much lost it, but I thought that was so special. So when we are responsive to the grace of the Holy Spirit, we begin to bear the fruits of the Spirit. The tradition of the church names 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Does anybody know the fruits? I want to start naming them. Yeah, yeah. Each person can say one, or you can say them all, or whatever. Kathy's got it. Yes. Give that car a cigar. That's fabulous. I wouldn't have been able to do that, I'm telling you. Yes, those are the gifts that we the fruit that we are given through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's see. Maybe let's come down here. The words, yeah. Okay, all together. I just want you to fall asleep. Okay. So Pentecost, we're coming up on Pentecost. Which is the birthday of the church and marks the beginning of Christianity. And this year it happens to be, I'm sharing my birthday with the birthday of the church. Happy birthday to me. It marks a purposeful movement and a new community. Peter preached immediately afterwards to around 3,000 people who believed and were baptized. Pentecost invites us to consider our own participation in the fellowship, worship, and mission of the church. It's a time to renew our commitment to live as an essential member of the body of Christ, using our gifts to build the church and share the love and justice of Christ with the world. Some of the nicknames for or titles of the Holy Spirit that came up in the Bible, I'm saying nicknames, but Helper, Counselor, Comforter, Breath of the Almighty, Eternal Spirit, Advocate, Spirit of the Living God, Teacher, Spirit of the Father, Spirit of Christ, reminding us that the Holy Spirit is shared between Jesus and God the Father. Spirit of grace, Spirit of truth. Where do we go to? Okay, top 8 IMG. So, as I told you, Stephanie and Michelle are the only grandchildren of Howard's mom. And they love their granny, and they have photo shoots with granny and whatever. So this was one of their photo shoots. They're in Hawaii with fur. They put a fur on grandma. But anyway, that's her about a year ago, 99, at age 99. Just showing you. Her skin is flawless. She's amazing.
Another. Can you tell us again, because the mic wasn't on very well, who was that again?
Who?
Who are those three?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was Howard's mom and my girls, Stephanie and Michelle. Oh, my husband. Oh, wow. The mic was gone for that long time. This is scary. Howard is my husband. That's his mom in Hawaii, grandma's. And this is my daughter, Michelle, on the left, and Stephanie on the right. Mm-hmm. And Michelle is the one who just got married. But this was just them having a little, you know, play date with grandma. Girls' day. This was last, this was 2019 at Christmas, but grandma, once again, having the time of her life, and my girls, Howard, I mean, Brian in the back, Michelle's husband, and Howard kind of barely seen, but that was at Christmas time. Oh, Jerry. No, no, stop it. If only. No, this was at a hotel. We went for brunch. We went for brunch at the Royal Hawaiian. That was very nice. Okay, now that, yeah, these were all in Hawaii. Now this she was 93, and we went on a girls' trip to Japan. Because grandma said, I just want to go to Japan one more time. Now, she was born in Hawaii. Her parents immigrated, and Howard's dad's parents immigrated. She was born in Hawaii, but she has traveled to Japan in the past. And she said, I just want to go to Hawaii one more time. So this was in Kyoto, and they were having a festival. And so you can rent kimonos and dress for the festival and then go participate in the festival. So that's what we did. That's me in the middle, Stephanie and Michelle. Who do I look like? Oh. Of course we do. Okay, one more, Gabby. But she's been traveling. That was us in London. That was our girls' trip when she was 97. And she had been telling us, she's a character. She knows how to get over. I've always wanted to go to London. I've traveled so many places in my life, but I never made it to Europe, and I always wanted to go to London. So her Christmas present was a trip to London. This was our girls' trip. We went to a restaurant that was kind of restaurant slash club, and grandma's there and enjoying it, as you could see, and having the time of her life. But the funny thing is when she, a few days after Christmas and receiving, and Michelle or Stephanie said, are you excited about our trip, Grandma? Oh, yeah, I'm so excited. She goes, I've always wanted to go to Italy. She goes, Italy? Stephanie's like, uh-uh, try again, Grandma. She's like, oh, London? Yeah, Grandma, London. So the short-term memory ain't so great. She can tell you a lot of stuff that happened years ago. But she was very happy to be there, as you could see. Hamming it up. You know where this is. We had to go Abbey Road. We had no idea what Abbey Road was going to be like. We had a tour guide for the rest of the trip, and we said, yeah, we want to go to Abbey. She goes, you don't want to go there. There's nothing there. It's nothing to do. It's nothing. We're like, okay, we get back to the hotel. We're going to Abbey Road. We said, we'll just take a taxi. And then we said, wait, what happens if we get there and then it's a secluded area and you can't get a taxi back? And we're like, well, we're going anyway. So it's a very busy intersection, if anyone's been there. So there were people on either side. It was not a question of being secluded. It's a very busy area of town. And there are people on either side trying to get the famous picture. So the traffic, the car would come around, and then they go quickly and everybody run it. Okay, come on. And then a car would come, they would honk. The people driving by do not appreciate that, trust me. And so they would start honking, so you had to run back. So actually we're going the wrong direction, but who cares, because we tried to get the other way, couldn't get it. So everybody at this point, it became, you know, a challenge. Everybody wanted to to see if we were gonna be able to get it. And then grandma didn't exactly know what we were doing, so we pulled up the picture and showed her and explained about the Beatles. She goes, oh, is that what we're doing? She goes, let's go. She goes, no one's gonna run over a 97-year-old woman. She goes, come on, let's go in the street. We got this. So she was the lead, and as you see, we got the picture. So, okay, next one. Oh, I think there's one more. Yeah, I think that's it. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, one more. Pope Francis, can we read this one together, please?
We ask the Lord for grace to receive the Holy Spirit that will make us remember the things of Jesus.
So, as Patty mentioned, I can't see the clock because it's so dark, but I'll just quickly. As Patty mentioned, we're coming up on discernment, and ladies, think about it. Take really time to think about that time and talent sheet. Just quickly, when I did go through discernment, it was such a spirit-filled experience is the word I'm looking for. Thank you. It was such a spirit-filled experience. The prayers, the prayerful time, having Helen as my prayer partner. You're not just thrown out there. You do have someone to walk with you, to pray with you, to question you, to help you question your life. Is this your time? But really think about it. Think about the leadership. This doesn't happen by itself. And we were so blessed to have these women that stayed for another year. And you wait for that guidance from the Holy Spirit, and it does come. And in my case, it came through my dad. And my dad had been gone many years at that time. And, you know, I was praying on it, and I was in my room, and all of a sudden I heard my dad's voice say, "Joe." And I turned, I just knew he was there, standing there. And then I turned and I thought, wait, no, he can't be here. And I just started sobbing, and that was at the point that I knew the Holy Spirit was guiding me and giving me the word that it was my time to step up. So please take the time and talent sheet very seriously and enjoy your small group. And Jerry's got a question. Did that song work? Did that song work? Okay. Okay. I have a song, Patty. I'm sorry. Ladies, I'm sorry for going over, but this is kind of relevant. So. Oh, turn them in today? Oh. Gabby. All right. Thank you, ladies.
Phoebe wasn't there, so I'll be right back. Are you going to stay for your small group?